RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appoints new special staff members to his administration. More than 50,000 visitors to Borobudur. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has appointed two new special staff in his administration. President spokesman Johan Budi confirmed in Jakarta Monday that Goris Mere and Dias Hendro Priyono had been appointed as special staff. As reported by Jakarta Post, Johan did not provide specific details regarding the position of the two additional special staff, but the retired police general Goris is likely to take on a role as a special staff member of intelligence at his former head of National Narcotic Agency PNN and former chief of National Police Anti-Terror Unit Densus 88. Dias Hendro Priyono, the son of Hendro Priyono, the former chief of the State Intelligence Agency, who was also involved in Jokowi's presidential campaign, is likely to be a special staff member for the special affairs. With the additional members, President Joko Widodo has six special staff. The other four staff members are Johan Budi, Ari Dwipayana, Lenis Kogoya, and Sukardi Reinakit. A total of 53,792 people had visited Borobudur Temple in Magelang Central Java until Saturday during Idul Fitri holiday that fell on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of Borobudur Tourism Part, Krishnamurti Adi Nimbron, said on Sunday that since 3 days before the Idul Fitri, the number of visitors has continued to increase. She also said that to boost tourism arrivals, she had increased various facilities and presented new attractions, including traditional shows and giant puzzles for the holiday. Meanwhile, Operation Director PT Taman Wisata Candi Borobudur, Prambanan and Ratu Boko, Retno Adiastuti, said she kept coordinating with village administration with regard to parking facility at Kunjonville. She said PT Taman Wisata Candi Borobudur, Prambanan and Ratu Boko coordinated with village governments to assure that access to the temple is not congested. A member of the House of Representatives DPR for Health Commission, Partaunant Dauli Saleh, has urged Health Minister and the Agency for Food and Drug Agency, BPOM, to immediately announce the result of the laboratory test toward fake vaccines to the public. As quoted by Tempo.co, he said the laboratory test has been completed by BPOM. Saleh further said that BPOM report to the Commission on June 30 the fake vaccine testing has been completed. He explained the result cannot be published yet because it is considered as part of evidence held by the Criminal Investigation Police. He said the Criminal Investigation Police has finished the investigation. Saleh said to end it, it is time to announce the result to the public. The announcement will not stop law enforcement process. Three Indonesians had been adopted by fight gun on board in Lahad Datu, Sabah, Malaysia. According to Star Online, the incident occurred yesterday at around 11:40 local time. As quoted by Tempo.co, a Malaysian police said that the fight men who abducted three Indonesians in Lahad Datu watchers were armed with rifles and a generator launcher. Sabah Police Commissioner Datu Abdul Rashid Harun said the abduction occurred about 3.5 nautical miles away from the Kampung Sinakut, Lahat Datu. His planned three gunmen boarded the trawler while two others waited on the speedboat. They were believed to be armed with N-14 and M-16 rifle as well as N-4 carbine fitted with grenade launcher. A global conservation group said that Borneo orangutans are now critically endangered species due to hunting and destruction of forest habitat. As reported by Tempo.co, the International Union for Conservation of Nature estimates the number of Borneo orangutans has dropped by nearly two-thirds since early 1970s and will further decline by 47,000 animals by 2025. The group said the projected population figure would represent a population loss of 86%. The assessment for the International Union for Conservation and Natural Resources, IUCN, a red list of threatened species was carried out early this year and published this week. Previously, the species was considered to be in danger. It said deforestation has dramatically shrunk the primate's habitat, with about 40% of Borneo's forests lost since the early 1970s, and another huge swathe of forest expected to be converted to plantation agriculture in the next decade. The last item, the chairman of Indonesian Food and Beverage Association, Adi Lukman, has questioned the government's reasoning behind the plans to impose levy on plastic packages for food. The government considers that plastic material is not environmentally friendly due to its massive use. As quoted by Tempo.co, Adi said in Jakarta on Monday that according to Finance Ministry, anti-plastic bottles and glasses will not be subjected to levies. They will be subjected to levies if filled with beverage. If the reason is the environment, why the filled plastic is levied, despite the fact is that the content will not cause environmental damage. Adi agrees that plastic is not environmentally friendly, yet a study conducted by University of Indonesia shows that garbage composition in Bantar Gebang Sanitary Landfill, West Java, is dominated by organic waste by 87%. He said plastic bags are only 17%. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Post Eid al-Fitri. Muslims around the world have just celebrated Eid al-Fitri, which marks the end of fasting during the whole month of Ramadan. In Indonesia, the feast day of Idul Fitri, or also known as Lebaran, is a fair of the homecoming or mudit, returning to one's hometown. Homecoming becomes an annual event for some Muslims in Indonesia, especially those who are studying or looking for a better living in the big cities. Like an exodus, they float home, each with the various modes of transportation, either by land, sea, or air. Millions of people leave the big cities struggling through traffic jams, packed in a railway station, airport, and ports in order to meet their family, relatives, and friends in the hometowns or villages. In fact, some of the media Indonesia, such print media, online media, and electronic media, are competing to make a homecoming special report program before and after Lebaran. In addition, both the central and regional government try to provide best service, especially in the field of transportation, with the provision of public facilities and infrastructure. Of course, you can't satisfy everybody, but at least the government has tried to provide the best services for people who want to celebrate Eid al-Fitri with friends and relatives back home. Now, after the excitement of homecoming that lasts a few days before and after Lebaran is over, travelers have returned to the city where they work or continue their education. Daily activities have already started. Indeed, Lebaran is the right moment, especially for urban people who still have relatives in their hometown, to recharge after the busy city life. It is true, homecoming needs considerable funds and stamina. However, it is all paid off after seeing parents, relatives, and friends in their beloved hometowns. Such a moment must not be missed. Going home can also increase regional income. Travelers usually bring home their money and spend it in their hometowns. Tourist destinations in the region are crowded, and this can revive the regional economy. But the thing to remember is that the homecomers do not have to bring their relatives and friends from the village, especially those who do not have any expertise to try their luck in the city, because it can increase the rate of urbanization and become the burden of the municipality, especially increasing unemployment and crime rate. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, it's up for an event 11th July 1987 is about World Population Day. World Population Day is an annual event observed on July 11 every year, which seeks to raise awareness of global population issues. The event was established by Governing Council of United Nations Development Program in 1989. It was inspired by the public interest in the 5 billion day on July 11, 1987, approximately the date on which the world's population reached 5 billion people. The next event was in 1921 when Mongolia gained independence. July 11, 1921. Mongolia, country in the central of Asia, proclaimed its independence. Mongolia is a country with ancient history and has ever become superpower state in the 13th century. At that time, Mongolia, led by the king of Genghis Khan, who succeeded to expand his power starting from Asia until Europe. After Genghis Khan died, Mongolia was broken into two parts, namely Inner Mongolia, which was controlled by China, and Outer Mongolia. In the late 17th century, Outer Mongolia also fell in China. In 1911, Outer Mongolia proclaimed its independence from China, but not long time mastered by Russia. After communist revolution happened in Russia in 1921, Outer Mongolia re-proclaimed its independence. In 1924, after the King of Mongolia died on Soviet provocation, the state changed its governmental system from monarchy to become a socialist republic. And the last event was in 1995. It's about the Srebrenica massacre. The Srebrenica massacre, also known as the Srebrenica genocide, was the genocidal killing occurring in July 1995 of more than 8,000 Bosniaks, mainly men and boys, in and around the town of Srebrenica during the Bosnian War. The killing was perpetrated by units of Army Republika Srpska, VRS, under the command of General Ratko Mladic. The Secretary General of the United Nations described the mass murder as the worst crime in European land since the Second World War. a paramilitary unit from Serbia known as the Scorpions, officially part of the Serbian Interior Ministry until 1991, participated in the massacre, along with several hundred Greek volunteers. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's Focus theme is the importance of optimism for Indonesian government to boost economic growth about 5% in the second half of 2016. July 2016 is an initial entry of the economy into the second half stage. The Indonesian government is expected to mobilize various sectors in order to increase economic growth in the second half stage. This is related to the global economic slowdown that influenced the course of the Indonesian economy. According to data from Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEF, Indonesia economic sectors that have made a major contribution are household consumption expenditure, which reached a consumption of about 54%, investment, 33%, government expenditure, about 10%, and the overseas export and import sector, which is still below 25%. INDEF Director Eni Sri Hartati to RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta said the government should increase the optimistic attitude that the economies could rise above 5%. According to her, improvements that could boost the national economy sector should be promoted concretely for the improvement of economic growth.
Optimisnya, sekalipun pertumbuhan ekonomi kita tidak mampu mencapai lebih dari 5%.
Optimistically, despite the economic growth which was not able to reach more than 5%, if the government is serious to improve the quality of growth, there is still hope that in 2017 there will be recovery. It means the improvement of growth quality. The first is that the quality of growth that could be repaired and sustainable with an impact on the future of the productive sector, especially the manufacturing sector, processing industry. We have a tremendous resource potential, but we are only able to pick it up and sell it in the form of commodities, purely from the earth, and sell it directly. Additionally, Eni Sri Hartati explained that if the government is able to process commodities directly through the industrialization of the villages or in the form of corporate, of course, these measures will result in added value for the economic progress. With the processing course, there will be jobs that provide income for workers, so they will make the people's purchasing power increased. According to Eni, if it continues to grow and can be run either from the micro, small and medium enterprises, then this would benefit Indonesia and the economy will continue to grow. Meanwhile, earlier, Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo, as quoted from Batampos.com, believes that Indonesia's economic growth will rise from adversity. Agus explained, in 2016, Indonesia's economy is expected to grow in the range of 5.2 to 5.6% and continue to be an upward trend in the medium term. On the other hand, the World Bank has projected a figure of 5.1% and the International Monetary Fund, IMF, only 4.9%. In addition, the government in the state budget 2016 and in draft of Budget Amendment 2016 still set a target of 5.3%. All of them are higher than the economic growth in 2015, which was only 4.79%. The same thing was also said by the Vice President Special Staff for Economic and Finance, Wijayanto Samirin, who added that based on projections of Bank Indonesia as well as international financial institutions, the Indonesian economy in 2016 will demonstrate the potential for recovery after the last few years experienced a growth slowdown. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has appointed two new presidential special staff in his administration. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi confirmed in Jakarta on Monday that Goris Mere and Dias Hendro Priyono had been appointed as a special staff. A total of 53,792 people had visited Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java until Saturday during Idul Fitri holiday that fell on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of Borobudur Tourism Part Krishnamurti Adinimrun said on Sunday that since 3 days before the Idul Fitri, the number of visitors has continued to increase. A member of the House of Representatives DPR for Health Commission, Partaunan Daulay Saleh, has urged Health Minister and the Agency for Food and Drug Agency, BPOM, to immediately announce the result of the laboratory test towards the fake vaccines to the public. Three Indonesians had been abducted by five gunmen on board in Lahad Datu, Sabah, Malaysia. According to the Star Online, the accident occurred yesterday at about 11:40 local time. As quoted by Tempo.com, Malaysian police said that the five men who abducted three Indonesians in Lahad Datu waters were armed with rifles and grenade launcher. A global conservation group said that Borneo's orangutans are now critically endangered species due to hunting and destruction of forest habitats. The chairman of Indonesian Food and Beverage Association, Adi Lukman, has questioned the government's reasoning behind the plans to impose levy on plastic packages for food. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to South Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is an archipelagic country. Its island in Indonesia has its own beauty. Take for example, Sumatra has many natural beautiful sceneries which attract domestic and foreign tourists. One of the regions which has many beautiful nature is South Sumatra. In South Sumatra, there are mountains worth being visited. Not only that, there is Onlo waterfall, which is also amazing. Because of that, waterfall becomes one of the main destinations of South Sumatra. One of them is Temam waterfall. Temam waterfall has shaped long and small giant curtain. Because of that, many people call it as miniature form of Niagara waterfall. Water streaming of the waterfall comes from Temam River. Water of Temam River is still clean and free from trash. Because of that, you do not have to worry to apply water at this area. The Temam waterfall is different from waterfall in other regions in Indonesia,
which are towering. This waterfall is formed naturally. It has long shape, long and around 25 meters high. At the Mam waterfall, there is unique stone which has formed crack and curve under waterfall. The stone is used by tourists for sitting while enjoying sensation of waterfall. The Mam waterfall is located at Rahma Village, Lubuk Linggau City, South Sumatra. The distance from Linggau City is around 11 kilometers. It takes around 30 minutes by using motor vehicles. There are two gateways to Rahma or The Mam Village with good condition road. The Mam waterfall is located around 50 meters from road which connects between The Mam and Rahma Village. To go to Lubuk Linggau City takes around 6.5 hours by using motor vehicles from Palembang. The Mam waterfall has been managed by regional government of Lubuk Linggau City. The facility is complete at the waterfall complex, beginning from lodging, restaurant, and restroom. For lodging, it can be found at Lubuk Linggau City, which is near from The Mam waterfall. If you are in South Sumatra, please set your time to visit this tourism object. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring The Mam Waterfall in South Sumatra Province. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Puasa, which in English means fasting. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Kita, kita, which means we. Makan siang, which means lunch. Bersama, bersama, which means together. Di mana, which means where. Kamu, kamu, which means you. Maaf, maaf, which means sorry or forgive. Berpuasa, berpuasa, which means to fast. Umat Muslim, which means Muslims. Makan, makan, which means to eat. Minum, minum, which means to drink. Mulai, mulai, which means to begin. Matahari terbit, which means sunrise. Matahari terbenam, which means sunset. Berapa lama, which means how long. Melaksanakan, which means to do. Satu bulan, which means one month. Setelah, setelah, which means after. Hari Raya Lebaran, which means Idul Fitri. Semoga, semoga, which means hopefully or may. Sehat, sehat, which means health. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Puasa, or in English means fasting. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Nita at the office. A. Mary, mari kita makan siang bersama. Mari kita makan siang bersama, which means, let us have lunch together. Kamu mau makan siang di mana? Kamu mau makan siang di mana? Which means, where do you want to have lunch? B. Nita, oh maaf, saya sedang berpuasa. Oh maaf, saya sedang berpuasa. Which means, sorry, I'm fasting. Sekarang ini adalah bulan Ramadan. Sekarang ini adalah bulan Ramadan. Which means, this is the month of Ramadan. A. Mary, apakah puasa itu? Apakah puasa itu? Which means, what is fasting? B. Nita, puasa adalah saat di mana umat muslim tidak makan dan minum mulai matahari terbit sampai matahari terbenam. Puasa adalah saat di mana umat muslim tidak makan dan minum mulai matahari terbit sampai matahari terbenam. Which means, fasting is when Muslims Fasting is when Muslims abstain completely from foods and drinks before the break of the dawn till sunset. A. Mary, berapa lama kamu melaksanakan puasa? Berapa lama kamu melaksanakan puasa? Which means, how long are you fasting? B. Nita, kami melaksanakan puasa selama satu bulan. Kami melaksanakan puasa selama satu bulan, which means we are fasting for one month. Setelah satu bulan berpuasa, kami kemudian merayakan hari Lebaran. Setelah satu bulan berpuasa, kami kemudian merayakan Lebaran, which means after 1 month of fasting, we celebrate Idul Fitri or Lebaran. Amen. Kalau begitu, selamat berpuasa. Kalau begitu, selamat berpuasa, which means alright, happy fasting. Semoga kamu selalu sehat. Semoga kamu selalu sehat, which means hopefully you are always in a good health. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional or modern ones. Today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian singer, Lili Suryani. But before we go to any further, let's listen to the first song by Lili Suryani entitled Ku Telah Berdua. Enjoy the song.
Sedikit sudu aku pun pergi ke pasar. Istri mengaku bujang. Memang aneh zaman sekarang, sudah beristri mengaku bujang. Seringgit si dua kupang pulang ke rumah membawa pecel. Seringgit si dua kupang pulang ke rumah membawa pecel. Kagak heran gadis sekarang sesudah kawin gak bisa nyambel. Kagak heran gadis sekarang sesudah kawin gak bisa nyambel. Menghitung bocah, enak juga pengantin lama masuk ke kamar menghitung bocah.
Listener, Lili Suryani got her top career as an Indonesian pop singer when other Indonesian singers were also in their top position of career, namely Titiek Puspa. But an alto vocal color owned by Lili Suryani was very appropriate with the songs she brought by. This was the starting point of Lili Suryani to penetrate her career in the Indonesian music industry and equal to other famous singers. The song entitled Gang Kelinci, Tiga Malam, and Genjer Genjer become the hit songs at that time. Well, listener, we take you to listen the next song entitled Gang Kelinci by Lili Suryani.
Oh,
Lili Suryani began to run her career in the music world when she was at the elementary school in Central Jakarta at 12 years old. Loud voice of Lili Suryani and clear articulation is the main asset in singing. 2 years later, when she was in Budi Utama Vocational School, Lili got opportunity to sing at the State Palace. She present as a teen singer to bring a Sundanese song entitled Chai Kopi. During her performance, she was the youngest singer among other singers such as Nin Lesmana, Mas Nun Sutoto, and Titik Puspa, who then became her closest friend. The time was the first ever of Lili Suryani met Bung Karno, an Indonesian first president. In 1963, when she was 15 years old, Lili began perform at a program of the state television station TVRI. At the same year, she got an opportunity to firstly enter the recording company. Starting from TVRI, she began her top career until she famously known to various neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and the Philippines. Well, listener, before we conclude the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs from Lili Suryani entitled Air Mata and Tiga Malam. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Setelah ku bangun
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Menembus megang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.